So I'm going to read from Exodus 16, 1 to 21. If you've bought your Bibles, feel free. It'd be great if you could open them up. And if we could stand, I know it's a longish verse. So obviously if you feel the need to sit down, please sit. But if you'd like to stand, if you're able to, as we read God's word. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin, between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they will gather food, and when they prepare it there will be twice as much as usual. So Moses and Aaron said to all of the people of Israel, by evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaints, which are against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. Then Moses said to Aaron, announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, because he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out towards the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp, and the next morning the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did it that way, as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until morning. But some of them didn't listen, and some kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. After this, the people gathered the food by morning by morning, each family according to its need. And as the sun became hot, the flakes that had not melted up, they had not picked up, melted and disappeared. This is God's words for us today. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, may each of us meet you today. And take with us what you want us to hear. Wash away anything that's not from you. For those of us who are struggling to feel your presence, may they find comfort in the knowledge that you do not leave us nor forsake us. And that the truth is, there will come a time when they will feel your presence. Thank you that you are with us as we journey, and that we journey together as a church family. Guide us in our conversations and thoughts about what you want us to learn today about ourselves and you. In Jesus' name we pray. One of the statements that I found myself saying as I was reading this was that within the whole entire community, wasn't there just one person? One person out of the, you know, it's around 1.5 million people, but wasn't there just one person who didn't complain? Who just remembered what God had done, that he was leading them and that he was there. And I find myself, hello Denny, I find myself thinking, God, you must have been so frustrated. Because, you know, the Israelites, just a month ago, you'd saved them, and 3 days ago, you turned horrible water into fresh water. And then I remember, when I'm busy judging others, how many times I must have frustrated God. And I wouldn't like to count them. How many times I've felt alone and scared and I've doubted, and how relieved I am that God hasn't and is never going to give up on me. That his love for me is unconditional. And that for me and for us, he sent his son who died and defeated death for us. But it appears in our reading this morning that the Israelites had forgotten that God was with them. And they'd forgotten that he was leading them. They'd forgotten that he'd been providing for them. Gone are their memories of the rescue from slavery just a month ago. How quickly their hunger pains have gone from skepticism and doubt. The festivities of the celebration have gone from... they're gone. The rescue's gone. Seeing the Egyptians come after them and nearly get them and then being destroyed, it's all gone. It's just a memory. And they've forgotten it. But as I was reminded when we were talking over dinner as a family this week, I know where the story's leading. I know what the end story is. And I know the incredible sacrifice that's been given up for us. The Israelites, on the other hand, they didn't have the privilege of hindsight. And they would have had incredibly strong memories of being slaves. For generations, they had been experiencing and seeing horrendous hardship, hearing stories from their grandparents and their parents for centuries of suffering and abuse. And I didn't turn this on, so bear with me as I flick that on, and hopefully technology is going to work. Let's see. And the guys at the back, I haven't told the 10:30 team, so they might not even... Oh, look, they're wonderful. Thank you, guys. You are fantastic. All right. So the Israelites found themselves heading back into familiar territory of hardship and despair. And they began to lose hope as they journeyed through the desert. And it brought responses of behaviour and conversations that were self-centred, self-absorbed and self-reliant, such as, why did we even bother leaving Egypt? Why didn't God just kill us while we were there? Then we wouldn't be hungry as well. They had forgotten that God was there, that he was right there in the cloud, and he had been every single step of their way on their journey since they'd left Egypt. And he had provided everything that they needed. What they did see was their supplies running low. Before their journey, it's not like they had any time to pack. Now, it was pretty quick leaving. And I'm sure they were so busy thinking, great, we're out of here, we're finally free, and in a day or two, or maybe a week or two, we're going to be in the promised land. And we're going to be sitting there with our feet up, watching the sunsets, with the kids and the grandkids, happily tucked up, nice and warm, in bed. I found myself just in this past week slipping back into that familiar, self-reliant territory as I was writing this. Lying in my bed, trying to sort out in my head, what was I going to do next? What was I going to say next? And it wasn't going really well. In fact, I was really muddled. And you know when your thoughts just go round and round and round and round? And I was getting so frustrated. So eventually, I started praying. And I said, so God, what do you want me to say? And I found myself hearing, trust me. Stop trying to do this on your own. I will lead you. And I thought, why didn't I just pray from the beginning? You know, how often do we seem to try A, B, C, D, and we sort of get down to Y, and we suddenly think, oh, I'm going to pray. and how often are our prayers answered? I was in the wilderness and I hadn't even been there a month. In fact, I hadn't even completed one day. And I was reverting back to that similar, that familiar territory of self-reliance. Because when I had been writing this, and to the best of my ability, listening to God, it wasn't onerous and it didn't feel like a burden. It was exciting. However, the minute I tried to do it on my own, the yoke around my neck became so heavy, too heavy. And God doesn't want any of that for us. We're told in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." God just doesn't give us yokes that are too heavy. He's been leading me, and he was leading me in his perfect timing. Oops, and I was learning to hand over control. And I have found it really challenging not allowing myself to panic and go, and just trying to be on that journey and relying in God and saying to myself, if God's going to lead me, I don't need to worry. Because when we don't see, or we rather don't know the bigger picture, the end result is we slip back into that unfamiliar, or to the familiar territories. Ways that are known and they're comfortable, even when we know that they're self-destructful and harmful. Because what we know, we believe, is easier to deal with than unknown. And the Israelites were in unknown territory. They were there and struggling with it. But God heard their cries and responded by providing food and an opportunity to learn and obey and trust God. And since they seemed to be missing meat in particular, in the evening, God provided an abundance of quail. Now, I don't know, have any kids here been to Wet Pets? Has anyone been to Wet Pets? You've seen the birds there? Fantastic. And they've got lots of birds and big aviaries. And then if you walk a little bit further, they've got the sliding door. And if you go in there, there's little cages. Well, some of those cages will have quail, just like that there. God provided so many quails that they uncovered the entire camp. And their camp must have been massive. Just imagine standing there, and as far as you can see, is quail, person, quail, tent, quail, person, person, quail, 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 tent. As far as you can see, it's just pretty much quail. And they did. It's a little bit freakish. God certainly doesn't do anything by half, does he? Whether God provided quail every evening or just a once-off, there's a little bit of discussion in the different commentaries you view, but I don't think we need to get stuck on that. We just need to remember that he provided. He heard their cries and he provided. He heard their grumblings and their murmurings. And it was also an opportunity for them to learn to obey and trust him. Because if they didn't obey with the commands they were given for the food, and they kept some till the next day, they woke up the next morning and it's full of maggots, stinks. And I haven't provided a slide for that because I know some of you would absolutely love it, but some of us want to go home and have lunch. But what we do know is that every day, God provided manna from heaven, 6 days a week. And here too, while the Israelites were collecting manna daily, they were on that daily journey learning that God provides for us, for them, and that they needed to trust him. Now, we don't know exactly what it looks like. We're told that it looked like frost, like that, and coriander seed. And I've got coriander seed in here, and they're tiny, and I don't know, there's hundreds in here. Absolutely minute. So I gather, if I spread this all over the ground and it was covered everywhere, it's going to take a long time to gather up. It was not a quick task. It was probably a fairly painful and tedious task. And they had to gather that and then bake it and boil it. So just more learning for them. Just God, just helping them a little bit more to learn to trust with him. And it was a task, I'm going to turn this one off, that the whole entire community was asked to do. They all had the responsibility of gathering food, and they all had the responsibility of helping each other learn to trust in God. Because he wants us to journey together to support one another. In Psalms 133, it reads, "How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity." We need to journey together. We have an individual responsibility to journey together. And it's amazing this morning how little things have happened on this path. Like Lois stepping up, like the Zoes coming into membership. And it's wonderful to see it happening. All journeying together, because we've all got an important role to play. We know from Romans it says, "Just for each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others." In a world that tells us all about me and my wants and my needs and how I can make my life better and how I have my rights and everything, now I don't have to wait, and I shouldn't have to wait, because it's about me. But it's not. Because God's got so much more for us. And he doesn't want us to conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we can prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Our wilderness wandering is, I believe, a part of God's training for us. Out of his incredible and unfathomable love, he wants us to completely lean on him, rely on him, trust him, have faith in him, to follow his ways. He knows the bigger picture, and what we have to remember is all of that. We need to remember that he is in total control, and we need to trust him. We've got to learn to practice it, practice control, practice trusting him, relying on him all the time. And while we're practicing it, sometimes it means we're going to wander in the wilderness, and it's going to feel different, and it's going to feel uncomfortable, and it's going to feel challenging, until God says in such a time, "Okay, let's go. We're off to the promised land." The yoke around our neck is not meant to be a burden. We need to remember that God is all-knowing. He sees the bigger picture. He knows our purpose and a plan for each of us, and we have the guarantee that we have a purpose. Because a wonderful, incredible truth is that God was leading his people, and he heard his cries, and he hears our cries. He provided food for them, and he provides food for us. He helped them, and he helps us. But he didn't just send any food. He sent food from heaven, raining down, covering the ground. It's like he was just surrounding the Israelites with himself. They were all included. They were all wanted, just as we are all wanted and loved by God. The Israelites were unaware of the true significance of the food sent from heaven, and that thousands of years later, God, because of his unconditional love for us, would again send the bread of life. There would no longer be the need for animal sacrifice as a substitute for my sin, for your sin, for our sin. Because God offered his perfect, beautiful Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. He came, he lived, he taught, he died, and he conquered death so that we can continue our journey for eternity. Amen.